have campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the program. For this Tuesday, September 24th, 2024, I'm Tim Wildman. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
And good morning.
And Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
And in Kansas City is our good friend, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Is your traveling days over for the year? You got
the last couple of weeks I've been on the road teaching young people, Book of Galatians in New York and Florida. But yes, I'm home now for about 3 weeks, and I've got a couple of, you know, 2 or 3 day trips. But the big travel for the year is over. I'm happy about that.
Now, what's the teaching the Book of Galatians, of course, in the New Testament? What's the overarching theme of that book?
It's about getting the gospel right, because when we are wrong about the gospel, two terrible things happen. God is not glorified and sinners are not saved. And Tim, there are a lot of people, including a lot of church people, and sad to say, some pastors and spiritual leaders who are all messed up on the gospel. So if you want to learn how to get the gospel right, friends, just go to that little book of Galatians, 6 chapters, and the Apostle Paul will set you straight.
Okay. Well, so Paul wrote it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. What books in the New Testament didn't Paul write?
Well, let's see. He didn't write 1 Peter. He didn't write 2 Peter. He didn't write Jude. He didn't write 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And Hebrews. Now, some people say Paul wrote Hebrews, but there's no author mentioned. So we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but I got to think. Chris helped me out here, but I think that's all the other epistles, all the other letters were written by.
I would agree with
Paul.
You there. Yeah, some people, including people I know, do think or theorize that Paul did do Hebrews based on some of the language
sure.
that was used. But I've had conversations with people that thought maybe Apollos wrote it.
And because there's no name mentioned, everybody gets a free guess. So could be Paul, could be Apollos, you know, could be somebody else.
And not to be oversaved here, but just for clarification for all listeners, God wrote the Bible through the inspiration
exactly.
of men. But yeah. Paul is considered the author. How would you phrase that for someone that was just listening in for the first time?
Well, we would say Paul was the human author. Mm. of the letters he wrote. But as you said, and said well, Wesley, he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Peter says, holy men of old, as 2 Peter, holy men of old, as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit, they wrote. So David wrote the Psalms, yet it was God moving and speaking through him. Isaiah wrote the prophecy of Isaiah, but he was guided, superintended. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit so that what he wrote was, it's what Isaiah wanted to say, but it's exactly what God wanted written. So it is truly and actually the Word of God.
And even more so than the inspiration that we get nowadays by the power of the Holy Spirit as Christians, right?
Right. I mean, we say, was Shakespeare inspired? Oh, absolutely, but not in the biblical sense
right.
of the term. He was Shakespeare, a brilliant writer, but he was not inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the word inspiration, theopneustos in Greek, a little Greek yeah. here, folks, God breathed. We believe the Bible was breathed out by God through human authors, all the way from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we encourage people to read the Bible mm-hmm. and study the Bible, and you know, where is the Bible verse, Ray, that says, putting you on the spot here, I know, and you, if you,
He's done this a few times before, as far as being on the spot.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm talking about a particular Bible verse here where it says that if a individual will hide the word of God in your heart, you then so that you won't sin against the Lord.
Right. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the King James Version. That's the one I learned 100 years ago as a kid. But that's from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, either verse 9 or verse 11. Somebody can check me. It's one of those two. Psalm 119.
What's
verse
the 9, one more 11. Bible question, and then we'll move on. But so, what's the connection between? I mean, it seems pretty obvious, but still, if you could, between what does that mean? Like reading the Bible? Does that mean like memorizing the Bible so that you get close to God? So if you get close to God, then you won't sin against Him. Is that the way it works?
Well, there are plenty of people who read the Bible every day and yet do not walk closely with the Lord. Somebody said it this way, Tim, it's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to let the Bible read you. Good to read the Bible. Better to open your heart and say, Lord, speak to me today. And somebody else said, what we need is not the Bible memorized so much as tattooed. We need the Bible tattooed on our soul so that when we're in the moment of crisis, the way of escape in the moment of temptation, that when you're kind of going this way and that, we're not sure which way to go, if the Word of God is part and parcel, if it's tattooed on your soul, you'll know the right thing to do. And God willing, you'll have the courage to do it. So do we believe in reading the Bible? Yes. Memorizing it? Yes. But whatever it takes, let the Bible read you. Let it speak to you. Let it become a part of your life. And then you will not sin against the Lord.
And be willing to make the changes that's necessary once you come across something that the Lord speaks to you through the scriptures that you're doing wrong in your life.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know,
takes some humility there, doesn't it, Ray?
At least for me, that happens every single day. Not like once a month or something, but every time I get into the Word, God speaks to me and says, son, stop right here. Pay attention to this.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that because, and I'll make this quick, you know, I think we as Christians, I know I do, we expect people to live according to Scripture, and sometimes, myself included, we forget that, like, the letters Paul wrote were written to Christians and churches first.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Not the sinner, but the saved person that needs to be living according to Scripture, which is why James would tell us to be doers of the Word.
Yeah, and that's why Galatians takes the time, as Ray mentioned, to help remind us exactly what how to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we encourage you to read the Scripture, read the Bible if you're a new Christian. Well, every Christian needs to.
Sure.
Be in the Word of God every day so that you can be inspired, and that, as the Bible says, as Ray quoted Psalm 119, so that we won't sin against the Lord. I was just looking at, just briefly here, it's hurricane season, right? Mm-hmm. Hurricane, it's like football season. Football
right.
season and hurricane season are like synonymous here.
Yeah.
Okay, and we've got a hurricane, potentially a hurricane Category 3, which that's pretty stout, coming, looks like it's going to come towards the panhandle of Florida, Chris. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
You want to go down there, Chris, and report for us?
I will be happy to. I may be like that guy on the Weather Channel that's standing there like at an angle.
You need to find Jim Cantore and hang out with him.
I will say this, shameless plug, 1 in 3 on-air broadcast meteorologists are Mississippi State graduates. Just saying. But
and you're not one of them.
No, I'm not. I have a BA in communication.
When you're having a lousy football season, you can brag on how many meteorologists you have.
That's right.
Okay.
You know what? You know, we may not win the game, but we'll tell you when to seek your safe place.
Okay.
So Tallahassee is under threat here, as are a whole bunch of well-known towns in Florida. I looked at the football schedule here. Florida State is actually on the road this weekend. They're playing at SMU. And I'm looking up Florida Gators.
Oh, you mean hurricane impacting
the
important things happening in America?
Where large people would be gathered.
First things first, Tim.
Where large people would be gathered. Now, Florida, The University of Florida in Gainesville, which just beat Mississippi State last weekend.
They are
at home they're playing October 5th against UCF, so that would be post hurricane. Nonetheless, a lot of people in Florida are going to be impacted and under threat by this.
Well, they put that cone on there, you know, on the projections, and it looks like the cone said basically saying Panama City Beach is right now would be like the area where it would make landfall. No. You know, there's a town there south of Panama City Beach, which got wiped off the map about 5 years ago. Mexico City was the name of it. I don't know if y'all remember that here, but it was a Category 5 that came up within like 3 days out in the Gulf and just absolutely obliterated. We drove down there and saw that about a year ago or so. Anyway, the Category 3 you're talking about, you know, you're talking about major winds, probably 120, 125 sustained. I'm not sure. That's pretty serious stuff right there. So we will keep an eye on on that. But, again, it is hurricane season usually lasts from, like, July, I don't know, 1st of November, something like that typically here. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Chris, speaking of hurricanes, what are the political hurricanes out there that we need to watch out for?
Well, it's 42 days left in this presidential election. That's assuming everything is actually called.
I'm ready for the presidential election to make landfall.
Well, you know, and next week we have the debate between Governor Walz and Senator J.D. Vance in the one and only VP debate.
Where is that going to be?
That's October 1st on CBS. I'm not sure what state it's going to be in. I'll get that to you in just a minute. But this is the one and only gathering between these two. There's usually one debate between the VP candidates. I, for one, would like to see a few candidates from the people that are going to be a heartbeat away from being the president, potentially.
Are you talking about, well, I don't think there's not going to be any more debates, is there, between Harris and Trump?
That, no, sir. Trump has said there's not going to be another debate. Harris herself wants, she says she wants another debate with Trump because she claims she won the last one. But there doesn't appear to be another one scheduled between the two presidential candidates.
Okay, so a VP debate next Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it. I know they got. I almost got to do it, and I think
you got to do what?
The debate.
Advance and.
That's what we're talking about here. Well, the Walz, yeah. The Walz debate versus or vice versa. I don't know if it's Walz versus.
We knew what you meant.
Yeah, you know what I meant. But I know you almost kind of got to do it, but I just think Walz, I've heard him speak a good bit. He plays so heavy on the emotions of people, and he's very tweet-like savvy, meaning like short phrases that takes a lot to unpack and it's hard to do. He makes it very difficult to have a discussion or a debate with based on just the way his worldview is. And so, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see how –
you mean like his style or something, or
yeah?
I've never heard him except for a few clips here and there.
Oh, I've listened to him quite a bit since he's become.
Were you inspired, or
I wouldn't say inspired, but it was
impressed.
I don't know about but either one of those words.
Okay.
But I worry about on the issue of socialism specifically, and on the issue of abortion. Those two issues, he is very plays on the emotions of people very well, like most far left people do, and I can see the public.
So Vance better be wary.
He better
be careful, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and he needs to prepare to stay with the facts.
Yeah.
On the issue, on any of the issues, obviously, or the subset. Basically, I would do, hey, look, Harrison, and this has been her 4 years. She's been in office, and stick with that, as opposed to get down into.
I'll tell you what they are lying about, just flat out lying. And listen, the Democrats and Republicans are both capable of lying. They're human and people. But what Walz is going to say, he's the governor of Minnesota. He's the VP candidate. He's going to say that Republicans are going to ban that. Trump is going to sign a legislation that's going to ban abortion across America.
Right.
That is now. Do I wish abortion would end across the U.S.? Yes, I do, because abortion is the taking of an innocent human life. But that is factually untrue. And that what Trump did while he was president, we've been over this before. What he appointed pro-life some constitutional conservatives to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade and sent abortion laws back to the states. That's all in the world it did. So each and every state makes up its own mind through its legislative process what the rules will be regarding abortion in their states. That's all it does. What the Democrats keep trying to say, you know, that Trump and the Republicans have taken away rights from girls and women to reproductive freedom or to get abortions, which is just simply false.
Uh-huh.
It's all it is. It's a scare tactic. It's false. And so Trump did try to explain this in the debate with Harris. And Vance will probably have to do it again, because I can almost guarantee you that Waltz is going to say, Trump and Vance, they're going to ban abortions across America.
And they're going to connect, and they're also going to say that he's part of the Project 2025 again. He's going to do that.
They're going to pull that one out too. Nobody even knows what
Project if you get a chance to watch it or you get some of the clips, you'll see what I'm talking about. He plays on the emotions of people.
You're saying he's good at it.
Very good.
Okay, so that
he reminds me of a male version of Whitmer.
Okay.
That, if you remember Whitmer during the lockdowns, how we needed to say
Governor of Michigan.
Governor of Michigan. He reminds me a lot of that.
They are supposedly very close.
Oh, there you go.
Who's close?
Whitmer and Walz, like they're buddies.
They're true believers in socialism, and they
gotcha.
And they're very. I'm just saying, I listened to him on socialism. I was like, this is kind of persuasive.
Okay, I got you.
But I know better.
Right.
According to CBS, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is standing in for Vance.
Pete who, Walz's, Chris?
Pete Buttigieg.
Okay.
He's standing in.
Did you just want him to say that again?
I did.
Yeah. Edge.
That sounds like something you get for dessert, like at Olive Garden. I have some booty jizzes.
We all need to be real careful here, okay?
So
I could feel the same thing.
Mayor Pete is standing in for Vance in Walz's debate prep sessions. And then as far as the Republican side goes, Republican Representative Tom Emmer, who is the House Majority Whip, is standing in for Walz in Vance's debate prep sessions. That's according to CBS, and I posted that link on our Facebook page.
Well, I've been very impressed with J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, who was Trump's pick for VP. I had not heard much of him. I knew who he was and everything, but I have been impressed with him. I really have. I think he's very smart. He's conservative. He's got good values and presents himself well, and I like his temperament. I like everything about J.D. Vance that I've heard and seen so far.
Somebody or a group of people did a really good job vetting and walking through that, because I do believe he provides a great balance for Trump.
One thing that Walz has been doing a lot lately, and you see people kind of criticizing him for this on X, is Walz often mentions how Vance went to Yale, as if that's a bad or a negative thing. Because Walz is trying to drive home that he's like America's dad, he's middle America, all these kinds of things. And he often brings up the fact that Vance went to Yale, which I think is unfair. And interestingly enough, a number of well-known Democrats, including former presidents, went to Yale. Bill Clinton is one of them. As if going to Yale is a terrible thing. Anderson Cooper of CNN, Meryl Streep. Well, there's a whole bunch of people.
So Walz is trying to play everyday man and pit and make Vance sort of an elitist?
Yes, that is what he's trying to do, as if he's better than you because he went to Yale, which is good for you if you got into Yale.
If you look at Vance's life history, by the way, he 40? What is he? How old is Vance?
He is younger than I am. I want to say he's 39. It's the first election in which a candidate that could be my vice president is younger than me, and I'm not bitter.
Okay. So you've got
Chris is getting old. What he's
yes, saying. It does. He's 40. J.D. Vance is 40.
Okay. Yeah, the whole idea, Tim, that you're going to present J.D. Vance as an elitist, he wrote Hillbilly Elegy.
Right.
He came up from nothing.
Right.
He came up from abject poverty.
Right.
And broken family. And I think on the day he was born, nobody would have bet any money that this guy would ever get within shouting distance of Yale, much less be a candidate to be vice president. So Walz can do what he wants. That's not going to work against J.D. Vance. I will say this, Wesley, to your point, Walz is good. He's slick. He's a propagandist. And, you know, he's a politician. He'll say whatever he needs to say. What you said, I think, is exactly right. He's going to play to the emotions. JD should just stick to the facts.
Right.
Just stick to the facts, and he'll do just fine in the debate.
One thing that was left out of the last debate with President Trump and Harris is President Trump, I don't remember him saying, well, all these things. No, I think he did. In his closing remarks, I think he did a better job. But all these things that you're wanting to do when you become president, why not do now? You got 4 months left. Well,
are you talking about Trump talking to Harris?
Harris,
which you said all these things.
Yeah. So in the same way here, you like to see Vance say something similar. Like, look, if you want to do all these things you want to do, go in and start at least start implementing them.
Yeah.
If they're
They're implementing them all right by the millions over the southern border.
Yeah.
They're implementing their policy.
I guess specifically all the changes, because apparently has Walls commented on his. Because a true believer like Walls, I have a hard time seeing him even lie about changing his position on, like, the border. Or, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Walls, has he even talked about the border? I mean,
or anything.
He is a true believer, probably even more so than Harris. I mean, he's in the mold of Sanders.
That's right. Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders.
But I guess what I'm saying is Harris, we all know this, she is on about 5 or 6 major issues. Since she's become the leading candidate for the Democrats, she has changed her mind and her position audibly on many things.
This country, because she's trying to trick people.
Right, but I have not heard Walls say something similar.
He's not trying to trick people.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, because usually they would be on the same... They would be in sync on this.
By the way, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So yesterday I'm watching a viral video, last night I guess it was, of then-candidate Harris, and she's doing some kind of a dance. It was a clip.
We have this.
Okay, so let me set this up. This is 4 years ago?
2018, yes, sir.
More than that then, 6 years ago. So she's... She's a U.S. senator at the time, and she's going to, maybe she had announced she was going to run for president on the Democrat side. So Harris is attending, then Senator Harris is attending some kind of outdoor event, and they're doing a left-wing chant about deportation and education. They like the rhyming thing, the lefties. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good at that.
They do.
So she's shown dancing. If that's what it was exactly, I'm not sure.
She was dancing.
Okay. She was dancing a jig. I think that was a jig, if you saw. Would that? Did y'all see it?
Yes.
I'm saying that.
Well, this morning.
You're
I
saying
did.
Kamala Harris was dancing a jig?
It wasn't a waltz.
nicely played.
Yeah. I think she was dancing a jig. Okay. And it's like outside in a street, and these lefties are chanting. Let's just hear the audio here.
Clip 3.
Down with deportation, up with education, down with deportation, up with education, down with deportation, up with education.
Okay, here we go. So can we put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page, that video clip? People may have seen it already. So what they're chanting there is up with education, down with deportation. And Harris is just, she's having herself a ball. She's chanting with them that. So that's her true view.
Oh, yeah.
Is that we shouldn't have any deportation of people here in our country illegally. If you want to know why Harris and Biden let millions of people come over our border without any resistance, it's because they don't believe in borders. They don't believe in deportation, and she's out there in the street celebrating down with deportation.
Yep.
So she has zero credibility when she now is talking about
the entire summer of love, it was defund the police, defund the police, defund the police.
Yes. Yes, Harris.
We don't want police in schools.
Listen, Harris, in fact, she gave a donation, a personal donation, and encouraged others to help bail out those in Minneapolis who had tried to burn down the city.
Got a bad track record.
Or did burn down part of the city. And that's just the truth. That you want defund the police? That's Defund the Police. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, if you want to listen to this show on a podcast that is on demand, basically, where you can listen anytime you want to, you can go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and then
go straight to Today's Issues.
The banner, it's on there, right?
I was highlighting our show. I was kidding. Yeah, well, as if there's no more.
It's not a joke.
That there's no other shows. Well, there's a lot of shows.
Yeah. So we have a lot of programs here, and some of them are just podcasts. Not all of them are aired on the radio, but it's a excellent content, American Family Radio. Go to AFR.net, and you can click on Today's Issues and listen to this program on a podcast. I think we had 160 or 70. We have something like that, 1,000, when you combine all 5 days of the week, downloads in August. Yep. So you're listening to Today's Issues. Well, one of the ministries that we support here at AFA and AFR is 8 Days of Hope. Almost all of you listening have heard about 8 Days of Hope and their work in the aftermath of hurricanes and tornadoes and other natural disasters. And they do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Wherever they travel, they go. Help people physically, but they also share the good news of Christ. And one of the new things that they are doing, they being 8 Days of Hope, is a safe house ministry. And joining us to tell us what that is Colleen Fabling. How you doing, Colleen?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Where are you based out of?
I am based in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Okay. I know Steve Tiber, our good friend, who heads up 8 Days of Hope, is in Buffalo. That's why I ask you. So,
yes, sir. We have about 3 staff members in Buffalo, and the rest of us are in Tupelo.
Okay. And you're not going to Buffalo in January, right?
That's right.
you told Steve that. You can't deal with 6 feet.
Not unless it's absolutely necessary.
Okay, so tell us what Safe House Ministry does.
I would love to do that. So Safe House Ministry is an arm of 8 Days of Hope that comes alongside existing ministries that are providing restorative and aftercare for survivors of human trafficking. So what that looks like is, if a ministry needs to expand their facility or renovate the facility that they have already so that they can better serve survivors, we would come in with skilled construction personnel and men and women in the trades and help them with their facilities. So that sometimes looks like building from the ground up. To add on or help a ministry begin to provide a safe place. And sometimes that means adjusting a facility, renovating to better meet their needs.
Okay, so you just like you guys travel and rebuild and remodel and all this clean up and everything when you have a tornado or a hurricane, in this case, it's an arm of the ministry of Eight Days of Hope where you have human trafficking victims. They need somewhere to go, right?
Yes,
they
sir.
Need somewhere to go. And what you guys do is either rebuild, remodel, or help provide that physical place. That's what you do.
That's right. Across the nation, there's over 13,000 animal shelters. But when we look at the numbers, there's less than 1,000 beds nationwide for survivors of human trafficking to go and have a safe place. And
have you been to one of these?
I have, yes, sir.
Okay, tell us, have you met the victims of human trafficking? How do they get there? I know that's not what you do is manage the homes, but I'm just curious when you meet these folks, I don't think, probably a lot of people don't know any victims of, who are these folks?
Right. Some of the facilities are for adults and some are for children. For children, they're either mandated by the state or sent there by the state or, privately. Some families can afford to send their children to a place of restorative care. And for adults, there's outreach ministry where women are invited to come and have a place to heal and get out of the lifestyle. And other times women, reach out and are seeking refuge. And that could be through a local church or other agencies that help place them. It just depends on the age of the victim and where they are in their journey. But there's a variety of ways that you can find yourself receiving care from one of these facilities.
Okay. How can people learn more about what Eight Days of Hope is doing in this regard?
We have several informational videos through our YouTube channel and our social media. And we have some incredible resources that we love to offer to churches and individuals who'd like to learn more. And one of them is our Human Trafficking Awareness Guide for Education and Personal Advocacy. And anyone that's interested in that, it has a wide variety of statistics and information so that you can be informed in knowing what's going on. It's heartbreaking, the landscape of human trafficking, but we've made this resource to help the church and believers wake up and recognize what's happening. And if you email us at safehouse@eightdaysofhope.com and request this information, we would be more than happy to mail you several copies or even a box, with about 150 or however you need for your church so that you can have it on hand.
What is your email address and what is the address? What is the website where you can watch these videos?
8daysofhope.com is where you're going to go and you're going to reach out to safehouse@8daysofhope.com to request the information. And if you look on our YouTube channel, just look up 8 Days of Hope on YouTube or through our socials, you can see the information that we have there, videos on what 8 Days of Hope does to be a part of the solution of human trafficking.
Amen.
All right. Thank you very much, Colleen. Thank you for being on our program. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do want to point out, I've shared the link on our Facebook page to the organization and the effort we just talked about, but do look in the comments on that section because our Steve Jordahl has done several stories for AFN about the effort. So we have a lot of coverage there from AFN for anybody.
Has anybody here ever met anybody that was a victim of human trafficking?
I have not.
I have not met anybody. I've obviously seen some testimonies from people, specifically on the 8 Days of Hope website or YouTube channel, so that's point, it's out of sight, out of mind. So for a lot of people. So
Ray, have you ever talked to anybody?
As a matter of fact, yes, and I think it's probably, Tim, what we ought to say is it's closer to us than we think.
Mm-hmm.
It's hidden, as Wesley said, but it's hidden in plain sight. It's happening in every major American city, including mm-hmm. Kansas City, where I am, but you name any major American city. But friends, there are children who are being abused and misused and sold into slavery and trafficked. It's a lot closer. Mm. It's a lot closer than we like to think. It's one of the more horrific things happening in the world today. And let me just say kudos to 8 Days of Hope. This is a natural next step in the growth of their ministry, and God bless them for what they're doing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Next story, Chris.
Well, President Biden was at the UN General Assembly earlier today.
Was he really?
He was.
Does he know he was there?
I don't know that. I did not have a conversation with Joe as to whether or not he knew where he was. But he did speak for a good while, and he touched on a number of things. I will say this. I'm gonna kind of paraphrase one clip. Biden, he talked about how he recognized challenges in countries such as Ukraine, Gaza, and Sudan, and he didn't mention
Israel. Gaza's not a country.
It is. You are correct. Winner, winner. Cowbell, if I had one from Trivia Friday. So that one kind of piqued our interest there in the newsroom. Like, what? Why would you leave out Israel? So eventually he does acknowledge Israel in October 7th, but notice how he briefly mentions that and then gets into a two-state solution push, clip 11.
The world must not flinch from the horrors of October 7th. Any country would have the right and responsibility to ensure that such an attack can never happen again. Thousands of armed Hamas terrorists invaded a sovereign state, slaughtering and massacring more than 1,200 people, including 46 Americans, in their homes and at a music festival. As we look ahead, we must also address the rise of violence against innocent Palestinians on the West Bank and set the conditions for a better future, including a two-state solution where the world, where Israel enjoys security and peace and full recognition and normalized relations with all its neighbors, where Palestinians live in security, dignity, and self-determination in a state of their own.
I feel the same way.
Just shut up.
For so many reasons, Si. It's hard to follow, too.
Well, I'm not talking about his slurring of his speech. That's irreversible. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about this tired old two-state solution deal, which is never going to happen. And he's only pandering to people. And Ray, when he says he talked about the horrific acts of October the 8th, 7th, a year ago almost.
Right.
Where 11 to 1,200 people, I didn't realize it was that many Americans who were butchered, like, and slaughtered on that day by Hamas. And then he pivots within, like, 10 seconds after that to say, hey, yeah, and we got to condemn the violence against Palestinians on the West Bank. What is it? What is that? Israel's at war. Does that count as violence against innocent Palestinians? I mean, how does that work?
Look, it's awful. War is awful, right, yeah. Tim? It's awful. And don't want to minimize anybody's death or anybody's suffering. But look, they had to do what they did in Gaza, or it would happen again.
Yeah.
They have to do, and now, Tim, it's shifted up toward the north with Hezbollah. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of rockets have been launched from Syria and from southern Lebanon, and so Israel has decided to respond very forcefully. You just have to ask yourself, who started this? It's not Israel that started it. It's the Palestinians, it's Hezbollah, it's Hamas, and Israel has every right of self-defense.
I just think they're trying to play – Biden right there is trying to play it both ways.
Yep.
Trying to have it both – eat your cake and – what is this old saying? Have your cake and eat it too?
Right.
Yeah. And Harris is doing the same thing.
There's been dozens of terrorist – organization leaders who have since the 60s who have audibly said that they themselves are opposed to a two-state solution. So it's not that it's even a negotiable or discussion for either party.
You can't listen. You cannot have it. Just it doesn't even make any sense.
Uh-uh.
You cannot have a Hamas in control of an official state on the border of Israel. That's insane.
Yep.
Okay, that's just nuts. Yeah. It would be like Al Qaeda being able to have its own country and, you know, on the border of the U.S. I mean, it's just crazy to even suggest it.
But and they don't want it.
Oh, you're talking about Hamas?
Yeah, they don't want
it. No, they want Israel wiped out. They don't want a two-state solution.
Yeah,
he's just, what he's doing right there is a tired. Listen, Hillary, no less than Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State for Obama.
Yeah.
She said recently that she said, listen, when her husband was president, talking about Bill Clinton, we basically gave, we and Israel gave Yasser Arafat and the Palestinians everything that they asked for.
Yes.
And when it came down to signing it at the table, they turned away and said no. They basically, Hillary Clinton herself is saying the Hamas / Palestinians in Gaza and so forth, they don't want a two-state solution.
No.
So anyway, it's just but Joe Biden there, I guess that maybe a swan song for the for the United Nations right there.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, let me say this real quick, and then I'll play the other Biden clip. People need to be aware of a couple of things regarding the so-called civilian deaths in Gaza. Number one, a lot of the news reports attribute the so-called civilian deaths to the Gaza Health Ministry. Who runs Gaza? Hamas. So therefore, the Gaza Health Ministry is run by the terrorists that occupy and control.
Yeah.
So take civilian deaths with a grain of salt.
People are dying.
Yes.
People are, the Arab Palestinians are dying as a result of the war with Israel. But as Ray said, and as I've said, war, and I don't mean this profanely, obviously, war is hell. And the situation that Israel's facing, and I mentioned this before, but here's the reality of what they're facing. Okay, when Israel tries to attack the enemy being Hamas or Hezbollah, the two terrorist organizations, but they're both funded by Iran. Okay, when Israel has to go to war, they have to fight urban warfare, basically. In other words, Hamas is mixed in among the general population of Gaza. So it's unavoidable that when Israel does as much as they can to avoid collateral damage, as they say, or people.
Even going so far to communicate what they're about to do sometimes.
Yes, yes, they try, but it's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. It's unavoidable. And Hamas knows if they can hide their headquarters under a hospital or under a school or under a mosque, it's much harder and more difficult for Israel to get to them, because if Israel attacks, what's the first thing the international media and Hamas is going to say? They're going to say, oh, Israel bombed a hospital.
Yeah.
Well, Hamas put their headquarters under a hospital. And this is the kind of thing that Israel's facing. Mm-hmm. So I think, Ray, and then Chris, Israel has for a long time been very sensitive to criticism. Well, I don't know if that's fair to say. They have been, especially if it comes from their biggest ally, the United States. Okay, I think Israel now is taking the position, listen, we don't care about what people say about how we're conducting the war here. We're going to do what it takes to protect our people and our land, and the world can just deal with it, because we're not stopping, and we're going to secure our people and our. So I think that's the approach that Israel's taking now, Ray. I don't think they really care.
Well, I think they're not surprised by anything President Biden said today at the UN. They knew about it. They know that he speaks out of both sides of his mouth, and so does Vice President Kamala Harris. So, do they really have friends in the White House at this point? I don't see how they can really rely on the U.S. at all. So they have decided decisively that they're going to do whatever it takes now, whatever it takes to get rid of Hamas and get rid, at least to cripple Hamas and cripple Hezbollah enough so they could have a time of relative peace.
Yeah, I think they want to eradicate them. But cripple them, certainly. Let me ask you this, Ray. We talked about the Bible earlier in the program.
Sure.
Is God with Israel or not? Or is that a hard question? What I'm saying?
If you're asking the question, does God still have a plan for the Jewish people? Yes, he does.
Okay.
Are they still on his heart? Yes, they are.
Okay.
Does he have a future plan for Israel? I read the New Testament. I don't see how you can answer it anyway, but yes, he's got a big plan for Israel coming up in the last
By Israel, days. You mean the country or you mean the Jewish people?
Well, the Jewish people in the land.
In the land. I got you.
I'm not necessarily speaking of a particular political party because, Mr. Netanyahu is there now. They have the Likud, they have the Labor, they have...
But they're non-believers. They don't believe in Christ. I mean,
exactly right. Yeah. They are still the objects of prayer and evangelism by Christians around the world. But does God still, are they still his people? Yes, God has not turned away from the Jewish people. They are still his people. I think Paul makes that clear in the book of Romans.
So do you think, I'm asking you questions that would take a semester in a Bible college to go through, but I guess what I'm asking is God on the side of Israel, or is that too broad a question?
I think maybe we ought to sharpen it this way.
Okay.
Does God intend to protect his people, Jewish people in the land? And the answer is yes.
Okay. Does it matter what our view is here in the United States? Should we stand with Israel?
Absolutely. Okay. There's no question. I think this goes back to Genesis 12. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. And I think one reason God has blessed America is because, not perfectly, but we have been historically on the side of Israel and the side of the Jewish people. I hope that continues.
So you think if we diss Israel or join the world in condemning Israel, you think bad things could happen in the U.S.? I mean, you think that's related?
Bad things are already happening in the U.S., Tim. Right. They're already happening. But to the extent, when you turn away from Israel today, I think you run the risk of removing whatever blessing of God you've had.
Okay.
So we ought to be, and for, frankly, moving away from theology, if for nothing else, Israel is our best friend in the Middle East.
Yes.
They're
yes.
a democratic country yes. in the Middle East. For all their imperfections, we ought to be on this.
They're also the Holy Land.
Yes, yes, they are.
I mean, let's not forget that. This is the Holy Land, and this is the land of the Bible. And, I mean, selfishly, as a Christian, I want to see all the holy sites preserved and
Absolutely.
Protected. And Israel has done so and continues to do so. And I know that's... it's kind of a separate issue, but that's another reason we should support.
That's the reason
Israel.
Christians. That's the reason, Tim, that you've led so many tours over there.
Right.
And we believe in that. I've led tours over there.
Right.
It is the Holy Land. Christians especially ought to support Israel.
Yeah.
This is the land of the Bible.
Amen. Chris?
Well, one of you had mentioned kind of this is Biden's swan song there at the UN. I think this would kind of wrap up the coverage of his speech there. This is Biden talking about his decision in recent weeks to step away from running for president. Clip 12.
I made the preservation of democracy the central cause of my presidency. This summer, I faced a decision whether to seek a second term as president. It was a difficult decision. Being president has been the honor of my life. There's so much more I want to get done. As much as I love the job, I love my country more. I decided after 50 years of public service, it's time for a new generation of leadership to take my nation forward. My fellow leaders, let us never forget, some things are more important than staying in power.
Now, he made it appear as though he decided himself, without being told, without being prompted, that he needed to step away, when it is well documented right now that people like Nancy Pelosi and big donors forced him out. That's why it is being referred to as a, quote, coup or a donor coup as to why Joe Biden's not still running today.
Wesley?
Oh, well, I certainly don't believe that he did this on his – he stepped away from –
He said it was a difficult decision he had to make.
I In what way, though? Because difficult. It may have been difficult because he was frustrated at the people that were forcing him out. But I don't think that – means difficult.
He was pushed out. Now, ultimately, he could have said, no, I don't care what you said, Nancy Pelosi, I don't care what you think. I'm staying in.
Well, I'm sure there was that discussion at one point.
Yeah.
But I think he eventually lost. I think he just had too many people that were against him running. Yeah. I'm just telling y'all, this is just nuts now. Think about this. I know we've mentioned this at times, but think about this for a moment. We live in America. 12 million people voted for a guy, President Biden, to be the nominee for the Democratic Party. There's a debate that takes place, and within a week, he's pushed out, and a person takes his place that had less than 1% of the vote. In 2020.
And that candidate is making this about democracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't go through.
This is crazy. These are the things that get forgotten about in the world of news.
But I will say this. I think if you would have asked the average Republican or Trump or any of the leaders of the Republican Party, who do you want to run against, they'd have probably said Harris. Give me Harris, because she had a abysmal approval rating as vice president. What I'm saying is they would have probably rather ran against her than Biden, if you asked people 4 months ago.
Yeah, after the debate, I was like, Biden, please stay in.
Well, I know that Trump hoped he stayed in too.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. What did you say that? How many days till Election Day, Chris?
42.
42. All right.
Six weeks, right?
And Mississippi State is still not having a good season, Dad.
Why do y'all keep reminding me of this? I know this.
Week is going to rain, so no golf.
It's going to be nice and cool tomorrow, though.
Oh, man.
There is that.
Might as well go back to bed. It's over. The week is done.
Yeah.
Checking out.
That's it.
Sometimes you just wonder if life's worth living. You know,
if you can't beat them, join them. Just pick a different team.
Yeah. I need to just pick a different team. All right, we'll be back.
Right.
Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.